This is episode 760 of the Roadman Cycling Podcast. Today I want to talk about the link between running and cycling performance. Let's cue that intro! Welcome to the Roadman Cycling Podcast. My name is Anthony Walsh. 6 days a week, we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you on your journey towards health, happiness, and longevity. Now let's get into the show. Stages Cranks and Stages Dash Bike Computer are today's show sponsors. I've used Stages power meters for the better part of a decade, first on my road bike, then on the tandem, and now off-road on my gravel and mountain bike. I really trust the consistency of the data that it gives me. It's been proven to be plus or minus 1.5% accurate. They're also super light. I think it adds about 20 grams to the weight of my crank. And a feature I love is the battery is so replaceable. It's a small little watch battery that you can pick up in any convenience store. I'm pairing my Stages crank with a Dash L200 bike computer, which I absolutely love. You can use it in portrait or landscape mode, which is kind of cool. The battery is so, so good. It'll last between 10 and 18 hours, and I've tested this depending on the mode you use. So it's going to last even my longest events this season. And the maps feature is absolutely amazing for when you're out on the trails. The color coding makes it virtually impossible to get lost. So if you're looking to get your hands on a Stages crankset, or you're looking to get your hands on the Stages Dash L200, which I'm using at the moment, all the information you need, it's over on stagescycling.com. The link to that is in today's show notes. Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman podcast. Today I want to talk about and explore the link between running and cycling fitness. Is running good for a cyclist? Is it worth incorporating it into your training routine? Like, I know it's time effective, because even to get a short session on the bike, and even indoors where there's so much less hassle set up, you're not putting on overshoes, arm warmers, sun cream, whatever the weather is like, there still is a little bit of a prolonged process in getting ready. Whereas running, it's literally stick on a pair of runners and you're gone. This morning, I needed to, Sarah's a little bit under the weather, hence the lack of newbie questions today. Now, when I say a little bit under the weather, that's probably the exaggeration of the season. I picked up some sort of bug after the Ross, and I was still able to train through it. I just felt kind of miserable. And then I passed it on to Sarah. Now, I'd assume that she got basically the same bug I got, but no, she's ruined. She's absolutely glued to the bed. She has a sinus infection, a chest infection, and an ear infection all at the same time. So I'm minding the dogs, whereas we normally share that workload. So this morning I was a little bit stuck for time and I needed to walk the dogs and I didn't have time to cover the loop, and I was like, I'll go for a run. It took me literally 20 seconds to get ready for a run. And that's kind of what prompted today's podcast. I stuck on my runners. I was already wearing shorts and a t-shirt and I ran with the dogs. It was unbelievable. So running is a tool that I use a lot when I'm time crunched, but also when I'm traveling. A couple of months ago, you might remember, I was over in London recording a live podcast. I was only over there for a few days and I decided that the hassle of bringing my bike was too much. So I just packed a set of runners and that was it. It was such a cool way to see the city. Running up past the palace, I was in full tourist mode. I was just missing my big hat and a foam finger and I was all set. So when I'm trying to think about running and its contribution to my cycling fitness, I default to the performance management chart, like I'm sure a lot of you do who are sort of hardcore cyclists. So as just a little recap, 100 training stress points is 1 hour full gas cycling. So 50 stress points for 30 minutes, that's if you're going full gas. So 25 stress points for 30 minutes at 50%. So if I head out for a 30 minute ride at 50% capacity, I'm going to pick up 25 stress points. So let's say I go for a 30 minute run versus a 30 minute cycle. So a 30 minute cycle is 25 stress points. So what, I hear you saying? The last 42 days of stress points, they're totaled and they're average to give something called chronic training load. That's my fitness score. But if I do a 30 minute run, how should I allocate that on my training peaks or my today's plan score? It's definitely not a 25 points. Because if it was 25 points, it means I'm weighting running and cycling in a one-to-one relationship, which definitely isn't the case. Like, running is helpful to cycling fitness, but it's not a direct replacement for cycling fitness. So it's not a one-to-one, but it's definitely a score greater than zero. It has some impact on my fitness. So what is the conversion and what should you consider if you're considering going for a run and wondering what impact it has on your cycling fitness? Well, running and cycling involve different types of muscle contractions. While running involves concentric and eccentric contractions, cycling primarily relies on concentric contractions. Running is also a weight-bearing exercise. It places a much higher strain on the skeletal and muscular system. That's why you see a lot of injuries when cyclists decide to haphazardly or hastily just take up running. Running engages the core muscles and the upper body to stabilize and maintain that proper running form, the kind of shoulders back, Ben Johnson style. And a strong core and upper body are essential for maintaining stability and efficient cycling posture, especially if you're on a long ride or you're doing something like a long climb, like Letras. You'll see people's posture caving in. Running's brilliant for maintaining that. It is also a calorie burning exercise, let us not forget. So it can really aid in weight management. Maintaining healthy weight is obviously centrally important for cycling, a sport where we mainly have two variables, power and weight. I also think an underrated reason to run is the mental challenge. Doing something else, a different activity to callous your mind. Running challenges your mental resilience, helping you to develop a stronger mindset to push through discomfort and fatigue. And this mental toughness, it can be advantageous at the hardest points in races when you need to dig to get into the brake or to hold on, or even on a long ride if you haven't fueled properly or you've pushed past your normal boundaries and fatigue is starting to set in. All that is well said and done, but I do think the timing of when you incorporate a run, regardless of all those benefits, there's a right time and a wrong time of the season to incorporate running into your training plan. In cycling, we have this idea of specificity. As we get closer to a target event, the demands of training should mimic the demands of the target event. By that I mean, if you're targeting a 60-minute criterium, it's okay in the winter time to be doing 4-hour endurance rides, even though a 4-hour endurance ride doesn't really mimic the demands of a 60-minute criterium. But as we get 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out from the criterium, our training should become an increasingly dynamic. How many times are you going to sprint out of a corner in this criterium? What's the power going to be like for the 60 minutes? What's the first 5 minutes going to be like? The demands of that event should be reverse engineered and broken down into your training plan. So when you're a long way from an event, that's the time to consider running or alternate forms of cross training. I remember Michael Barry, who was just recently retired from Team Sky at the time. I actually had him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. He was prescribing me, when he was my coach back in my full-time days, he was prescribing me 10-kilometer runs during my off-season. And I always felt amazing after incorporating these runs into my training for a couple of weeks, because running really helps with that bone density, balance, and neuromuscular coordination. I have always found as well that it's a great way to keep mentally fresh. Like, incorporating regular but relatively short running sessions, it can break the monotony of that day in, day out bike training and provide a little mental pick-me-up, especially if you're an athlete who's experiencing overtraining or some sort of performance burnout. I would exercise a sort of caveat or a word of caution that if you haven't ran before, it's a good idea to start slow. You can start with short intervals, run for like 5 minutes and then add in a minute or 2 minutes of walking and just gradually eke that out. The next time you go out running, try and run for 6 minutes and then the same interval of walking and build it up. Because if you just go out the door and you haven't ran in 5 years and you go out the door, pull your runners, and you're like looking at your friend who's a triathlete on Strava and thinking he's running a 4 minute kilometer pace, you go out physically, you'll have the machinery to do a run like that. You'll go out, you'll be absolutely crippled the next day. It'll be like you were in a crash in a bunch sprint, like someone threw you out of the car on the motorway. You're going to be ruined the next day. So trust me, use that incremental build-up approach. I do, on the sum of all this discussion, think running is a worthwhile activity to incorporate into your training plan. Best done quite a long way away from your target event, especially if you haven't ran in the past. Can I answer this question of how to integrate it into your training stress score? Unfortunately, I can't. All I can come up with, and it's very, very crude, is I divide my training stress by 50%, and that's it. So if I do a 30-minute run, I attribute myself 12.5 points for that. It is quite crude, but I feel on the balance of the evidence that I have, it's somewhat accurate. I would love to hear from like a data scientist or someone who knows how to properly give us a value on what we should put in on a training stress score for a run. I suppose it boils down to a load of different stuff like efficiency levels, running experience, economy, and it's definitely beyond the scope of my mathematical skills to figure that out. But running is a worthwhile activity. Rob, man, I will hopefully have Sarah back on the podcast by next Friday. I don't think she's going to make it tomorrow, but who knows? She might make a miraculous recovery. If she doesn't, I will be back to you again early next week. Until then, ride very, very safe out there. Rob, man, be good.